Blog Talk Radio.
I was just thinking, it's such a good thing that you guys, you can't see me while that little intro is being played, because I dance every time, and we all know that watching white people dance is a little bit bad for your health. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. I'm just going to be me today, Patrick Connor of QueensberryRules.com, discussing some stuff. Figured we were going to take a break this week, but with the news yesterday, I couldn't pass it up. Hopefully my boy James Foley, my co-host, is listening, but I don't know, he's at work, so he's probably not listening. He'll probably listen to it later. In any event, the big news coming out yesterday, which many people had suspected, was that Floyd Mayweather had more or less granted a winner to the Floyd Mayweather sweepstakes, and that winner is Marcos René Maidana. So if anybody's not familiar with Maidana, well, then I don't know what the hell you're doing listening to this show, because this show is for boxing fans, needless to say. But if you're not familiar with Maidana, he's the one who took on Adrian Broner last December, December 14th, and, you know, beat the crap out of Adrian Broner, more or less. So, yeah, my wife's fist pumping right now after I said that. Needless to say, Adrian Broner's got a lot of, as they call them, haters. And that kind of seems to be where Marcos Maidana has really pushed his name forward, is in that performance against Adrian Broner. And it was a fine performance. So I think that there was some surprise as far as Floyd actually going with Maidana, because it seemed that for literally for months, the direction that he was leaning in was Amir Khan. You know, I expressed my disinterest in that fight, needless to say, and I would probably continue to express disinterest in it. At the end of the day, I think that what it really comes down to, as far as, you know, Floyd Mayweather taking on Amir Khan or Marcos Maidana, at least for me, what it comes down to is the fact that Marcos Maidana probably, quote-unquote, deserves it more. At the end of the day, I don't really quite understand why exactly those two fighters are the only options. And it seemed kind of strange to me from the beginning that those seemed to be the only options we were being given. And, I mean, why we were being given options, I'm not entirely sure, because it was going to go one way or the other either way. The point is just that Floyd Mayweather, with the type of money that he generates and the type of heads that he's able to turn, it seems like he could fight anybody he wanted to. He draws so much money and so much interest that there are people who literally equate him with the sport of boxing in this day and age. And I don't see how it could be really any other way. If you look at pay-per-view numbers, viewership numbers, ratings, things like that for fights that don't involve Floyd Mayweather in any way, you know, they're, I don't want to say paltry, but they're definitely not very high. And I think it's just reinforcement that boxing is, it's not a mainstream sport. I guess it's kind of on the road to potentially being one again, if things continue the way that they are, but that's kind of a gamble that I probably wouldn't take. Regardless, if you look at the numbers of just kind of regular shows, they're not that great. And then you look at just the type of numbers that Floyd Mayweather is able to bring in. So where's the gap? Who are all these other people? And I think that all these other people are the casual fans who are, like I said, more or less equating boxing to Floyd Mayweather or even Manny Pacquiao. So for us hardcore fans, we, or at least me, I start thinking about who should Floyd Mayweather be fighting. You know, I've been called the proverbial Floyd Mayweather hater for probably years. So I think the question that I get asked probably most often, if I start to complain about his opponent, or, you know, if I don't like what he's doing or whatever, well, who should he be fighting instead? Well, that's kind of a difficult question to answer, even though it seems like he would have a pretty endless array of opponents because of the money that he brings in. Well, I said it a couple shows ago to Foley, and I said that I really wanted to see a guy like Edislandi Lara get a get a shot at Floyd Mayweather. Just because of styles, I think that that type of style is a style that Floyd Mayweather hasn't really seen for a long time, and that it's a style that had previously given him issues with, like, a quick-handed, you know, guy who has a good punching power like Zab Judah. Now, don't get me wrong, I know it's Zab Judah, but in any event, we had seen previously that that type of style had given Floyd Mayweather problems. So that's one option, and on top of that, it's an option that's with the Golden Boy. We all are very well versed now at the, in the fact that Top Rank and Golden Boy aren't going to be working together anytime soon. So, I think that that's just one really quick option. But otherwise, it's a difficult question to answer. There are, I guess, few options as far as what he can get in with. I'm kind of confused as to why Amir Khan was an option to begin with. I mean, at the end of the day, Amir Khan was getting hurt really badly by Julio Diaz not too long ago. And Julio Diaz is a guy who's not a very big puncher in the first place. And I think that just that by itself doesn't necessarily disqualify Amir Khan. But I think that that's a pretty clear sign that he probably shouldn't be getting in with someone like Floyd Mayweather anytime soon. And on top of that, Amir Khan is held out. He's held out for this fight when he had opportunities to fight in the meantime. He even tweeted something the other day when it seemed like he wasn't going to get the Floyd Mayweather fight, something to the effect of, oh, I should have taken that Devin Alexander, I think he said Devin Alexander shot in June or whatever it was. Because now he's been off for all this time, and he doesn't have a fight to show for it. And on top of that, he doesn't have a Floyd Mayweather fight to show for it. So, when it comes down to Amir Khan versus Maidana, that's just one more thing. His lack of durability, Amir Khan's, that is, that's another reason why I don't want to see the fight. And if you wanted to take the head-to-head approach like Amir Khan and Marcos Maidana fought, yeah, Amir Khan won that fight. I thought that Marcos Maidana could have won it, and also that that fight could have been stopped in the 10th when Amir Khan was being, you know, wobbled to shit all over the place, and Joe Cortez was doing his usual, you know, shitty referee routine. So even if you take the head-to-head approach, I'm not really going to be all that convinced about that either. The only slim chance, or the only reason why I could see someone saying, oh, well, you got to go with Amir Khan, is if you're concerned that there's a style issue there with Amir Khan having fairly quick hands, decent power, and, you know, I guess a little bit more length than Marcos Maidana as far as where he's able to fight from. So if you were to take that approach and say, well, that's why I'm going with Amir Khan, is because I think that, he might be able to trouble Mayweather. Okay. I guess I can see that, and I've seen that argument. I think that it's not a bad argument necessarily. It's just that the problem I see is it keeps going right back to Amir Khan's durability or lack thereof. I don't think that he could keep up a game plan against Floyd Mayweather that would work for 12 rounds. Sooner or later, he's going to get hit, and sooner or later, he's going to get hit right on the jaw. Floyd Mayweather is just that type of fighter. I would be absolutely shocked if Amir Khan were able to do something that would make Floyd gun-shy. And sooner or later, Amir Khan's going to get hit. And when he does, history has proven that he's not going to be able to take it all that well. So that in itself is reason enough that I just don't really want to see it. At the very least, if you're going with Marcos Maidana on top of him, you know, quote-unquote deserving it on the strength of the Adrian Broner fight and the Soto Caras fights and the Josecito Lopez fight, et cetera, et cetera. If you're, you know, aside from these things, you know, he at least has punching power and the ability to potentially turn that fight around on a dime. Is it going to happen? I wouldn't bet on it. I really like Marcos Maidana. It's tough not to. He's the type of guy who has a no-nonsense approach inside the ring. And he's coming to do what he's coming to do, which is try to knock you out. There is not a very good chance that he's going to come in there and try to outbox you. So I respect that. I respect that he goes into the ring and that no matter what your game plan is, his game plan is going to be more or less the same, and that's to knock you out. He's a difficult guy not to like, in my view. But as many have already pointed out, I think that stylistically, we've already seen this. We've already seen Floyd Mayweather in with a guy that he's very clearly much quicker than, that he is even potentially a little bit bigger than. Marcos Maidana is not a very big welterweight. And, you know, don't get me wrong, he's not a tiny welterweight either. And I know that Floyd's not a huge welterweight himself. But in terms of just, like, their overall size, I think that Floyd's probably going to have a bit of a reach advantage. He might have a little bit of a range advantage. And even on the inside, Floyd Mayweather's no slouch. I think that we're probably going to be looking at a situation where Marcos Maidana is going to be searching for a knockout for much of the fight and losing a 12-round decision. If that's what it is, that's fine. You know, if these are the options we're given, you know, we've certainly gotten worse before. But yeah, I'm just kind of reluctant going into this, I guess. And I guess I have to keep up my role as the hater and ask why these were the only options that we were given when seemingly Floyd could fight anybody. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm a little bit indifferent, I guess you could say. Of course, the discussion keeps going back to Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. I don't even know if I can express in words how much I just don't give a shit about that fight anymore. It's really difficult to give a shit about that fight. I think that basically flew the coop at least a couple of years ago with me. The first time the negotiations were going on, I was kind of interested in it, and I got involved in, you know, just kind of following the story and all that type of stuff, and it was cool. It seemed like a good prospect, and then it was a letdown that it couldn't be made. The second time around, it started to become a little more comical as Pacquiao started kicking out the excuses for not drug testing. Mayweather started talking about he was afraid, and then there was, like, crazy demands made on both sides. That's when, right about when they lost me. When we have the most important fight to make in a good decade, in a fight where it's the number one and number two pound-for-pound fighters in the world, in the same weight division, in their prime, and they can't get it done because they both just have a case of sore vagina. Yeah, I'm not going to be for that. Let me take a sip of water. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to be for putting up with the diva antics of these guys. So I know that the discussion's probably going to continue to come back to that fight, but my advice would be just to let that go, because I'm not entirely sure anybody gives a shit anymore. I mean, aside from the casual fans who see them as the most recognizable figures in the sport. And, I mean, you know, years ago people were asking me stuff like, hey, when's Mike Tyson going to fight Oscar De La Hoya? Literally, just because those were the two most recognizable characters in the sport at the time. So, of course, inevitably they were going to fight, right? And so I think that many casual fans are kind of suffering from that, and that's why they keep bringing it up. Casual fans, even people in the sports field, like guys who host ESPN shows and Fox Sports shows and stuff like that, who constantly rail on Manny Pacquiao for not facing Floyd Mayweather, railing on Floyd Mayweather for not facing Manny Pacquiao, guys like Stephen A. Smith and loudmouths like that who barely even follow boxing. Yeah, I guess they're probably going to keep talking about it. But moving forward with the conversation, I think that as far as what Floyd Mayweather versus Marcos Maidana means for the sport, I don't really know. I think that if it turns out the way that most of us expect, I think that if it turns out with that Marcos Maidana is constantly looking for a knockout that he can't find, it's probably not going to mean very much for the sport, except for that the guy who beat a man in Adrian Broner, who's really nothing like Floyd, got, you know, a little bit of justice in getting that fight. And, you know, actually I did want to talk a little bit about what I just mentioned about Adrian Broner there, because I had seen, you know, discussion of that as well. Most of it is kind of, you know, jokey discussion, but, does kind of beg the question, does beating Adrian Broner, does that give Marcos Maidana the cred, or does that make him deserve a fight with Floyd Mayweather? And objectively, as much as I like to see it because I like Marcos Maidana, objectively, It is kind of funny. It's like the idea of beating Andre Berto getting you a shot at Floyd Mayweather in the last few fights. Yeah, it's just more funny than anything to me. You hear Adrian Broner say things like, I'm the closest thing to Floyd Mayweather in the sport, and, you know, since I lost, he was sad, and, you know, all sorts of nonsense like that. No, Adrian Broner is not the closest thing to Floyd Mayweather in the sport. He is not the next best thing to Floyd Mayweather in the sport. And I think that at this stage, as satisfying as it was to see him get his trap shut and get punched in the mouth a number of times, as satisfying as that was, and believe me, I took great pride in watching it over and over again, beating him at this stage, he's not an elite opponent, in my opinion, and beating him is not really going to get you any type of huge once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, it did in this case, but should it? And in my opinion, no. Adrian Broner is an unproven fighter. Yeah. I think that if you wanted to make the argument that what Marcos Maidana has done in the last few years, the Devin Alexander fight aside, I think that's probably a little bit of a stronger argument, you know, that he has put forth a number of really good performances where he's fought his ass off. He's won most of them. And, you know, some against world-class caliber opponents. If you wanted to make that argument, that's okay. I could roll with that, I suppose. And he's also given a number of really good fights. So I could deal with that argument. It gets kind of tiring. It gets kind of tiring doing this once every 8 months even with Floyd Mayweather fights, but I guess this is kind of just what we get. Let's see here. It looks like somebody was calling in. 708 area code. Hello? Yeah, well, I guess they don't want to talk. Anyway, so yeah, I think that going into the discussion about whether or not Marcos Maidana should be getting the fight kind of gets tricky. But yeah, this is the Floyd Mayweather lottery. This is what happens every however many months, and I guess we should just be happy that we get it. I think that's the attitude that many are taking. But let's see, what else went on in the past week in boxing? There wasn't really anything that was huge, needless to say, although there was that HBO2 card the other day. Miguel Vasquez. Oh, my good buddy Miguel Vasquez. You know, it's funny because I almost don't really feel like there's quite as much hatred of Miguel Vasquez as there is of Guillermo Rigondo or even Andre Ward. And even though, in my opinion, he doesn't really fight in a very entertaining manner. You know, I don't mind watching fights like that the other day, but it's just so odd to me that they're going to be putting fights like that and cards like that on HBO, even if it is HBO 2, but be so reluctant to put Guillermo Rigondo on in a good fight. It wasn't real good. Although I do keep hearing that Rex, is it pronounced So or Sue? I remember Lupe Contreras told us how it should be pronounced. I just don't remember how he said it, but Rex So, that's what it looks like on paper anyways. He seems to be gathering a following aside from Zhao Xueming in China right now, so it could be kind of interesting. It sounds like they're going to be doing another Macau card in the next few months. I think they said in April. So, for whatever reason, they're really pumping money into the idea of putting on fights in Macau. I don't know. I guess that could be a good thing, but it kind of remains to be seen what exactly that's going to mean. Well, unless anybody really wants to call in and chat, I pretty much just wanted to hop on and do a little quick opinion show, you know, solo show by myself on the idea of Floyd Mayweather versus Marcos Maidana happening. That's all the rage. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. So there has actually been talk at, you know, this is all in the last 24 hours. So it's, you know, me saying there has been talk is, you know, take into consideration that there you know, it's internet talk because there hasn't been much talk aside from that yet. But it sounds like that on the undercard of Floyd Mayweather versus Maidana, or at least the potential undercard, there were, you know, little inklings here and there of Lucas Matisse potentially taking on Keith Thurman. That's kind of crazy. Then there is, I saw a blurb about Adrian Broner potentially facing Louis Collazo. That's pretty crazy stuff, I guess. I mean, as far as fights go, especially the Lucas Matisse versus Keith Thurman fight, I said yesterday I would be kind of surprised if they actually put that on because it runs the risk of getting Lucas Matisse, you know, two losses in fairly, you know, close succession to one another when his star really seemed to be rising and his loss to Danny Garcia was a pretty rough one. And on top of that, he would be moving up a division to take on Keith Thurman, who's proven to be a pretty hard hitter. He has quick hands and he's obviously getting better. He's using his feet a lot better than I've noticed in the last few fights. So in any event, I'd say that that's kind of a risk for them to be taking with Lucas Matisse or potentially cashing him out. I really don't know. But I also feel that there is a chance that Keith Thurman may be biting off a little bit more than he can chew in that one, because I think it's probably very easy to dismiss Lucas Matisse after that loss to Danny Garcia when he's a very good fighter. Going into that fight, he was a good fighter, and coming out of it, I don't really think that he was a bad fighter. You know, if his eye hadn't been so damaged in that fight and very early on, it could have been a different fight. There were moments here and there where it was almost like he was threatening to seize control of the fight. He just never quite got there. So, I think that that's kind of a risky proposition for both, especially with Keith Thurman, too, with the flip side of the coin being that he's a young fighter. He's potentially going in against a guy who's not only a very good boxer, but a fairly hard puncher and, you know, runs the risk of losing his undefeated record and potentially some marketability, et cetera, et cetera. So that would be a pretty crazy fight to put on that undercard, but I would take it. I would be kind of sad for one guy or the other if they lost, but I would definitely take it. As far as Adrian Broner versus Louis Collazo, oh man, it's so we were making jokes on the Louis Collazo versus Victor Ortiz fight. I mean, it was just so much easier to joke about it than it was to you know, actually assess the fight and say, you know, talk about the actual implications of it, or, you know, stylistically dissect it and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it's kind of difficult. I don't really want to get ahead of myself with Louis Collazo. I've never had an issue with him myself, and I've enjoyed him in a number of fights, but he's been kind of off the radar for a few years, or at least off the mainstream radar. Well, mainstream boxing addict radar. Anyway, but he had kind of been off the radar for a few years and then comes out of nowhere to stop Victor Ortiz with a punch. And I just kind of don't really want to get ahead of myself with what that could mean, or, you know, potentially overrating Louis Collazo because of that fight, when it's been very clearly demonstrated in the last few years that Victor Ortiz kind of has one foot in the sport, one foot out the sport, you know, and even then, even when he is dedicated or was dedicated, it was kind of a risky proposition putting him in a fight anyway, because anything could happen. So, you know, taking that into account, I think that it's a very good opportunity for Louis Collazo, and something that, you know, again, we come back to the word deserve, something he probably deserves after turning in a good performance against Victor Ortiz. And many thought that, you know, Victor Ortiz was going to show that he was back against Louis Collazo, and Louis stopped him with a shot, just one shot. So I think that, yeah, if you look at it like that, it's a good opportunity for Louis Collazo, and he probably does deserve a fight on the heels of that performance. But yeah, it once again kind of seems to be another situation where if they did put on that fight, it's running the risk of getting Adrian Broner two losses in a row if he does lose. And on top of that, kind of similarly to Keith Thurman, even though I know it's different situations, you know, fighters at two different times in their careers, regardless, you know, Keith Thurman is a star on the rise, and Louis Collazo really hit one out of the park, so to speak, with that knockout of Victor Ortiz. And with that knockout, he seems to be, you know, on the minds and on the lips of a lot more boxing writers and fans and whatnot as far as putting him in this matchup or that matchup. So it's really – that would be risky matchmaking, and I would be really surprised by it. And if they did that here in 2014, I think that Golden Boy would be in the running for really smashing their 2013 run, which was very, very good. You know, boxing itself had a great run in 2013, but Golden Boy really stepped up its game in 2013. And this would be, I think, another step in that stepping up direction. So, yeah, if nothing else, even though I've probably sounded very negative about this Floyd Mayweather versus Marcos Maidana prospect this entire show, even though I've probably sounded fairly negative about it, again, I do think I should point out that the good point about the fight in particular is that Marcos Maidana, yes, deserves it, and that he's going to show up and give everything he's got. He's going to try to knock Floyd Mayweather out, and if he does wind up connecting on a shot or two, we could see something fairly funky there, and that in itself might be worth the price of admission. And, putting those fights or fights like that on the undercard, I got to hand it to Golden Boy. If they do make the card, of course, I don't want to get ahead of that, but if they do make a card like that, that's really good stuff. That is really good stuff, and it's the type of stuff that I've been asking for a while. When we have those large types of cards where there's a lot of attention paid to it and so many buys and whatnot, when they put on the shitty, weak undercards, you know, I know Bob Arum says stuff like undercards don't matter and nobody gives a shit about undercards. You know what? In terms of money, that may be true. But us fans, us diehard fans, us fans who are always going to be coming back to the sport, we do care about undercards. You know, every so often it would be nice to kind of just be thrown a bone. And we've said it on numerous shows in the last, you know, handful of weeks, well, probably the last few months, really. But Golden Boy is kicking the shit out of Top Rank in that regard. You know, whether or not it's financially driven, whether or not it's actually having compassion for fans, it really doesn't matter what the motive is. The point is that we're getting better fights and better cards from Golden Boy lately. So I know HBO had a good late 2013 run, but overall, I don't think there's any denying 2013 belonged to Golden Boy and Showtime. So what's up with that job, guys? Anyway, so I think that was basically all I had to say about what's been going on in boxing and the important stuff that I felt a need to update with today. We will be back next week for sure. Foley will be back with me. And sorry for keeping it to a short show today. It's my daughter's birthday today, so we're going to go pick her up from school. Anybody who tuned in, thanks for tuning in. And anybody who goes back and listens to me ramble on for a good half hour, God bless you. We will see you next week. And check out my stuff, please, queensburyrules.com. And even though that bastard isn't here, check out James Foley's stuff at badlefthook.com. Thanks, everybody. Take it easy.